Support for KNKX comes from Laird Norton Wealth Management, serving high net worth families, individuals, foundations, and endowments since 1967, with a philosophy that life is as much about goals and aspirations as it is about maximizing financial capital. More at LairdNortonWM.com.
All the way from beautiful San Diego, California, it's pianist Danny Green. Maybe he gets the credit for our fake-out summer weather this week. Thank you, Danny. Mr. Green is a master of piano styles, incorporating Brazilian, classical, Latin, and pop edges to his compelling jazz blend. On his 2016 album, Altered Narratives, Danny Green added some strings to his trio for a few songs, and his new album, One Day It Will, is a fully chambered trio plus strings quartet affair. And this afternoon, we are treated to a rare solo piano performance. Please help me welcome Mr. Danny Green.
Thank you.
Out of sight. Danny Green on 88.5 KNKX. Wonderful to hear the solo piano work. The new record is called One Day It Will. It's Danny Green's trio plus a string quartet. And Danny, the last album you did, Altered Narratives, had a string quartet on a few songs. Is this new album kind of a continuation of that, or do you want to do something new?
I would look at it as a continuation. Getting to record with strings on Altered Narratives definitely whet my appetite. And, you know, from that point, we started doing a couple concerts and, you know, just having the concert to do, I figured might as well do more than three songs. And so I started writing more. And over time, you know, I just kept adding to the book, and eventually I had enough music for an album and felt like I had to record it.
It's a fantastic record, One Day It Will, out on OA2 Records right here in Seattle. How did you conceive of the strings' contribution to your trio? Was it thinking of, okay, it's a trio plus this unit as strings, or is it more of a septet? I want all the individual string players to be involved individually, too.
I think more of the latter. I mean, the trio, we've been together since 2010, so, I mean, we really have our thing already. And when we play with strings... you know, in general, when we work with string quartets, they're playing the notated parts and they're not improvising.
Right.
So we don't have that like interaction between all seven happening, you know, using the jazz vocabulary.
Right.
But as a composer, you know, I try to write stuff for the strings that becomes integral to the pieces. So even though we play the pieces without strings quite a bit, when we do it with the strings, I've tried to add sections that feature the strings, or mm-hmm. places where maybe the violin or the cello will play a melody where I can accompany, which I don't get to do mm-hmm. that much as a trio. So I really try to find ways to make them pertinent to the arrangement.
Now, as you mentioned, it is a pretty well-established trio. Justin Grinnell and Julian Cantelm, wonderful bass player and drummer. And I wonder if they had any input on the musicality of the new album. Was Julian saying, "Oh, you can't have the cellist doing that"? How much contribution did they have?
I think they're very supportive of the arrangements, and you know, they're just really into it. I guess it wasn't so much of you can't do this or you can do this, but it was more us as a group trying to figure out how we're going to change what we do in order to accommodate the strings and make it all sound more cohesive. When we recorded it, we recorded the trio parts first and then tracked the strings later. So we had a couple, maybe like one or two rehearsals where I brought in MIDI recordings because we hadn't heard some of the songs yet with live string players. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we just kind of rehearsed with the MIDI parts, playing the string parts, just so we could get it more in our heads. And, you know, sometimes on drums, there's a couple hits that need to be there to accentuate what the strings are doing, which are things that I wouldn't normally be doing mm-hmm. if we're playing in a trio setting.
Yeah, really fantastic arrangements. The band really comes together, and it's still a trio at heart. Everybody check out One Day It Will. What have you got for us next, Danny?
All right, next, so that first one you probably knew was All the Things You Are, and it's one of my favorite jazz standards to play, and I like to just approach it in many different ways. Next up, I'd like to do one from the album, and this is a ballad that I wrote entitled Lemon Avenue.
Danny Green, solo piano, live on 88.5 KNKX. Thank you. That was beautiful. Danny Green live, solo and live on 88.5. Danny, that last tune really took me to a place. Maybe I've been listening to too many soundtracks, but for me, I could almost see the credits rolling. It's an older couple watching their granddaughter play in a grassy field in the sunshine. Maybe she's out of earshot, so it's still peaceful. And I wonder if you're thinking about visual settings or just moods when you're writing a piece.
I don't know. I always think that just whatever is going on in my life in some way affects whatever I'm writing. Mm. It's not always that when I write a piece, it's about something. Like when I wrote that piece, I wasn't necessarily thinking about a girl playing in the fields or anything like that. But, you know, like I have another piece called Snowy Day in Boston, which I'll play later. And, you know, that was inspired by just spending a day in Boston and experiencing snow, which I don't get to do much in San Diego. So I think the music definitely does evoke a lot of images when I play it and when I write it. But I don't write it specifically about something.
So I can take from that your song titles would usually come after you've written the song?
Definitely. Now, sometimes very long after.
Now, it's always fun to come up with names for instrumental tunes because you can go in a lot of different directions. And I wonder if you've had any unique titles that you can tell us about that you came up with strangely.
Yeah. I know one favorite of a lot of people is I Got Kite, which is on two albums ago. And that's something that my son used to say a lot when he was 2 years old. Whenever he was happy, he'd just say, I got kite. yeah, I mean, some of them are just kind of bizarre titles. Some of them are, like October Ballad. You know, that was one that I wrote in October.
Pretty obvious. Yeah.
And yeah, exactly. And I just couldn't think of a name for the longest time. And it just said October Composition on the piece. And eventually that's what it became. Time Lapse to Fall. I was thinking about those time lapse videos. I wrote the piece in fall. And mm-hmm. we had our first day that seemed like the weather was changing into autumn. And I was wrong in San Diego. Our fall extends all the way to November. but we had one day where it seemed like it could be changing. And so, you know, I was just thinking of those time lapse photos. So, mm-hmm. yeah, lots of, I don't know. I just try to think about what's going on when I wrote the piece.
Right. Now, we've been talking a little bit about little kids for some reason in this second part of our conversation. And you are connected to a lot of jazz education, working in a lot of different facilities down in San Diego, including Jazz Appreciation for Kids. And I wonder if you could tell us, it is Jazz Appreciation Month. What do young kids respond to in jazz? What should we be feeding our youngsters that'll perk them up?
Well, I think they respond really well just to the rhythm, you know. And, you know, if you play something that just makes them want to move, they get really excited about it. The program I do is called The World of Jazz. It's through the Athenaeum Music and Art Library, through their education outreach program. And a bassist named Rod Thorson and I go to a bunch of elementary schools. And it's a PowerPoint presentation. We do some performing. We play pieces like Pent Up House by Sonny Rollins. Mm-hmm. We do... What else? St. Thomas. So a couple of Sonny Rollins tunes. We usually get a Jobim one in there. Mm-hmm. And the presentation just goes through, you know, starting with New Orleans, talk about Louis Armstrong. We move into big band music, talk about Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald. Then we get to Miles Davis. Then we travel down to Brazil, talk about samba, and they love that part because mm-hmm. I bring my little tambourim and play that, and then we talk about Jobim, and then we go back and we close out talking about Esperanza Spalding, who I think is a great artist who really brings it all together. And you know, you hear some scatting, which they learn about through Ella Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. You hear some Brazilian rhythms in there. You hear some R&B mixed in.
Right.
We play the video of her playing at the White House, playing Overjoyed by Stevie Wonder. And we always ask the kids to send us letters after, and a lot of them just say they love that piece in particular.
Fantastic. Solo live on 88.5, Danny Green.